Here we go.
Hello.
Hello, you. And where are you, Judith?
I'm in Cornwall, Shire.
Oh, you're so lucky.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, sweaty in London, Judith. Oh, sweaty, clammy, claggy London weather.
Oh, is it? Oh, always different here. It's a colouring in day here.
Oh, Judith, is it actually raining?
Yeah, kind of drizzling and, quite a choppy sea.
How lovely. Have you got those chalk pastels that I bought you for your birthday?
Pastels. Do you know that was a fantastic gift of yours? But because I bought lots of other projects, to be honest.
Okay, I want to know about your projects. I want to know what you've got on.
Do you? What now? Yeah. You want to know about the projects now? Already? Yeah. Okay.
Well, we haven't set up Project Corner on this podcast yet.
Oh,
we've got
Culture Corner
for later, but maybe we should have a side section called Project Corner.
Oh, yeah. Judy, I think that's a very, very nice idea.
Right, what have you brought with you? What toys?
Because I'm here on my own. Mike didn't want to come. I was a bit pissed off with him, really.
Bloody hell.
I think he wanted a bit of a break from me. It's terrible. He gets up really late when I'm not around. Really.
Oh well, hold on. When you say really late, I'm going to I'm going to guess around the clock now.
Go on, then.
So I'm going to say when you are not there, he probably surfaces about 8:30.
Oh no, much later.
Oh, really?
Even you might be quite shocked. No, sort of 9:30. Sometimes I think that is late, isn't it? That's not revengeful. What's the word? What do teenagers do?
Slothful. I'm not accusing Mike of slothfulness because that's the last thing he is. But no, I'm really pleased to hear that. I think Jeff would do 9:30, 10 if I let him.
If you let him, indeed. Well, you know, you've gone now. You see, when you're off on tour, you might be doing all sorts of things like that, mightn't he?
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, his habits when I'm on tour, Judith. I mean, it's a sort of mix of teenage boy and 6-year-old because he just eats ice cream and, and lies abed, probably.
Sausages.
Sausages and ice cream. There we go.
Oh, I know.
And loads of just stupid telly. I mean, they just want time in the telly themselves, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I don't think Jeff's into sport, is he?
But no.
Mike's watching. He's on the settee watching sport with a few
in the daytime.
Beers. Yes, in the daytime, Jenny. And that really, if I'm around, I can't, he's into football. And so.
I have to say, did you watch the girls? Did you watch the lady football?
I watched the end of it.
Oh, what
and I was
like.
Very, very curious to know what happened because I really wanted them to win, but no, I didn't watch the whole match.
What was it like round your way? Because where I live, it was just absolutely silent. You could tell there was a big event on.
I know, it's fantastic, wasn't it? I can't pretend to be interested because I don't like football. And
I don't.
It annoys
either.
Me when Mike spends time watching football when he should be doing other things, in my view. But no, bloody hell, one for us, eh? God, brilliant.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I did exactly the same as you. I sort of like couldn't be bothered with it. And then I had a quick look on Twitter and it was 1-1. And that's when that piqued my interest, Judith, because you know me, I love penalties. This
Do
is
you?
Something that, yeah, make people, I go, oh, I love penalties. And people go, oh no, that's really odd. I really, really
Why do you love penalties?
The drama of it. It's the split second drama of it. It's the, does she swing this way? Does she swing that way? Does the goalie dive this way? Does she dive that way? It's just everything is decided in just seconds, and it's just
so much
more exciting.
Could we not just have penalties? I mean,
wouldn't
it save a lot of everybody's time?
10-minute games. You could be as fat as you like.
Exactly. Just
you wouldn't
penalties.
Have to be foot. You wouldn't have to be fit. You could waddle onto the pitch, right, for 10 minutes. You could be eating a cake at the same time.
Yeah, 1 minute.
Cake in
that's
one
right.
Hand.
Up you go.
Yeah, off you go. In front of the goal. Off you go. 1, 2, 3. Shoot. Ah, oh, what a shame. Okay, next one up. Let's do. And just do that for 10 minutes. Yeah,
exactly. Do you know, out of the way, people can. You know, people like Mike can get on with something useful.
Yeah,
done
you
and
can
dusted.
Do some jobs. Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't want to be the goalkeeper though. I think they're the ones that
True. Oh no, that must be terrible. Yeah, it is. You're right. It is. It's the ultimate high drama, and by definition, because it is the decider at the end. It's the finale. It's the climax. Yeah, I know what you mean. But
it's quite orgasmic, isn't it?
Orgasmic.
Yes, orgasmic, I think. Yeah, there you go. But anyway, well done then. And I just have to mention at this point that, of course, you know, I'm not interested in football at all, but I have a great aunt. Well, I had a great aunt. She's not with us still. That would be insane. Because she was born, I think, sort of, because my grandmother was born in 1900. So this great aunt Emily was either younger or older, but born around that time, and she played for Dick Kerr Ladies.
Gosh. I mean, I don't know what Dick Kerr Ladies is was.
Yeah, no, I know. I could tell, Judith. I could tell that was a polite reaction. A polite but slightly bored reaction. And in the slight silence before you managed to react in a polite but bored fashion.
Were they famous ladies team? They must have been.
Yeah, very, very famous. Until it was famous. Poppy's really thrashing around in the background. What's
sorry,
she doing, Judith?
I gave her a great big bone that I'd been saving for her because I thought, well, I'm doing this, so it'll keep her amused.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's kind of banging on the floor, isn't it? I think she might have taken it onto the carpet now. She's really getting her teeth around it. Oh, God.
You're having a great time. Okay, so we've done the football. Well done, the lady footballers. Yeah. We're very glad. I really liked it when the woman took her top off and then she got a yellow card for doing that, which was just ridiculous.
Oh, absurd.
But they were just... and I really liked it when when one of our girls was tackled really brutally by one of the German girls, and you didn't have to be a lip reader to be able to interpret what she said. She just went, "Oh fuck off," or "Fuck you," and it was just so great. And it was just great. And they all had ponytails, and they were all lovely. Anyway, so Dick Kerr Ladies was this really famous women's football team. They played during the wars when the men were away. And
wow.
They played in front of crowds of thousands, thousands and thousands and thousands. It was massive.
Oh, have you got a photo of her?
I think there must be one in my mum's place. And I'm going up next week. I'll see
if I can
find
it. Fish
it
out, will you? Put it on the notice board.
If I can't, I'll just put my nana up and you can just pretend. Yeah. And I don't know what happened to her in the end. That's all, you know, we ever knew about Great Aunt Emily. I'll try and do some more. I'll get my sister on it. She's a historian. She can dig up all that. So anyway, Judith, now we're on to nanodom. It's a very worrying. So babies are like a little grenade, aren't they? That get lobbed into the family, and
yes,
you sort of go, "Oh, this is wonderful. This is wonderful." But it's also incredibly nerve wracking.
Of course.
Were you an anxious mother? Because I was.
Oh, God. How could either of us be anything but an anxious mother? I was so bad. I was ringing the emergency number at Queen Charlotte's, which you're supposed to do in the first 5 days when you come home, about a month later, and having to fib about, you know, how old she... Yeah, of course I was anxious.
Yeah, I don't think I ever got over my postnatal anxiety. I've always been incredibly worried and anxious about Phoebe's health and safety and all this kind of thing. And, if you know, I think that, you know, she's sort of, she's doing incredibly well. And they're so wonderful with the baby. They love that baby so much.
Oh.
But I know that she has anxiety, and I know that feeding has been quite hard work. And she's really, you know, the breastfeeding and she's had a lot of pain and all this sort of thing.
It's not easy. Nobody really explains how difficult it is.
No. And, you know, some babies sort of find it easier than other babies, and then on it goes. I've watched her doing it. It looks perfect. It looks like, you
Does
know,
it?
One of those idyllic pictures. But, you know, I'm not experiencing it. But I do think there's quite a lot of pressure onto breastfeeding. I think people get a bit evangelical about it and all this sort of thing.
But
the alternative is quite expensive unless you sort of get yourself really sorted out. You know, and you know what you're doing. I'm learning lots. I crave him. I just want to see him all the time. And I've also got to learn to butt out.
Yeah.
And I have to admit, I saw a photograph of him, a close-up of Arlo being held in what looked like, very obviously, the arms of a middle-aged woman. And I immediately thought, well, this must be me. This must be me holding Arlo. But I haven't got that top. And my arms are much fatter than that, and that's not my watch. And it was the other nana.
It was the other nana. Really?
Yeah.
She was allowed to hold him, was she?
She was allowed to hold him. I had to get over that, Judith. I really did.
Oh, God.
So, I mean, you know, nanas are a funny thing, though, aren't they? I mean, you know... I had two. Did you have two nanas?
I had two. What were your two? What were your nanas like?
Well, my one was Jenny Jones, the sister of Emily, who was, you know, what were they called? The Kerr. I've forgotten the name of them now.
Dick Kerr. See, I was listening.
Right, my grandmother was the sister, either older or younger, of Emily Kerr, the footballer.
Right.
Footballeress. Yeah, Jenny
stylish,
Jones, and she was a mill girl. I've said this on the...
Yes, and she was the one that married well and,
she married
and
well.
Dressed very stylishly.
Oh, she was a fancy pants lady. And, yeah, she was tiny as well. She was really small. I think she was a size 3 shoe. All
Gosh.
That kind of thing. Yeah,
God.
Yeah.
Did you like her? Did you like going to her house?
Yeah, because she smelt really nice. And
oh, did she? What did she smell of?
I think it was sort of... A lot of talc went on in those days, didn't it?
A lot of talc. Yardley's talc.
I think
yes.
It was probably... And it might have been Lily of the Valley, or it might have been something like that. I don't know.
I think mine was Imperial Leather, actually. I've only just thought about
it. That's quite blokey. Imperial Leather? I think that... No, I don't know. My nana was definitely... But, you know, she loved fancy smells, but she was quite... Because she came from very common stock. So when we went to stay... she was always aware of money and all this kind of thing. She never wasted anything good on us. So we'd get in the bath in her house.
Yeah.
And to make it frothy, she put Lux flakes in it.
Oh, did she?
Yeah,
Lux
flakes. And then froth it up. She'd go, oh, look at that, all frothy. Oh, you like that, don't you? I, of course, have always had the world's most sensitive skin.
Oh, God.
And I'd just come up in wheels and my bottom would itch and, you know. It really did trigger a lifetime of sensitive skin issues. Right now, you only have to say the word Lux, and I start to, you know,
I bet. God, I bet.
Yeah.
I wonder whether she put some washing in afterwards. I bet she did.
She probably did. Yeah.
Yeah. Of course she did.
She had a bent finger from the mangle. Her husband Tommy. Who had no septum, you know, the middle bone in his nose. He didn't have one of those, and I don't know why not, because it was before cocaine. Oh, well, it wasn't, but I don't think there was much cocaine flying around Blackpool in the 1920s.
I don't know.
But he had worked on the fairground, and then he became a solicitor and was an orphan and all this kind of thing. And he had quite a lot of money in the end, and he liked her looking nice and all that. And the other nana, big fat slob.
So that was your dad's mum.
Yeah. Now, what about yours, Judith? I want your nanas now.
Very, very different. A bit like yours, actually. That's interesting, isn't it? I had one grandma. She was very much grandma, who lived in a quite a posh house, and they had a breakfast room, and they didn't like, you know, you couldn't wear trousers when you went round there. It was all very, very formal. She used to wear a house coat in the morning and change in the afternoon. And she had some help and a big pantry, and I was quite scared of her.
Whose mum is this?
That's my dad's mum. My dad was posher than my mum. So my dad's mum was grandma, and yeah, I was a bit scared of her and grandpa. Oh, grandpa was lovely, actually, but less scary and smoked a pipe. And then my mum's mum was completely different, and she played bingo and had a meter, you know, where you had to... The lights would go out and the telly would go off if they ran out of money in the meter. And I used to love going around to Common Nana's place, because she used to send me up the road to Mrs. Keeling's. I was never allowed to go anywhere on my own other than at her house. I used to wander up the road and sort of get her some sliced ham and bits, and used to give me some sweets. A lot of independence, and we used to have a lot of laughs. And do a lot of things that my parents didn't know about, I think, really.
Was there a grandpa with this one?
No, she lost her husband when he was, you know, in his 40s. And had a baby and had a son really late at 47. In fact, she lost her husband a couple of years later. So she had this sort of teenage son. I remember, you know, who was in the Scouts and everything and into the Beatles. So I had a kind of a bit of a role model as well. I used to love going around to her house, and we used to play lots of games in bed and laugh. And I suppose that's the kind of nana that I wouldn't mind being, really. And probably that's the way we should go, don't you think?
Yeah. Slightly rogue nana.
Rogue
nana. Yeah, we'll be rogue nanas anyway. So how are the twins? Because they're sort of, like, they're like really, like, fledging now, aren't they? They're coming out of the newborn, they're out of the newborn baby cocoon, aren't they?
And they're sort of becoming
mini people.
Yeah, they do actually feel like now sort of trainee. You can see the differences in their personality. I mean, Stanley, predictably, who's this kind of robust, you know, could always hear him burp and win from the next room. He's big, he's got big feet, big hands, and he's got a real temper on him. I mean, if he's hungry or if he's fed up, he just kicks his legs and kind of cries. And he, I mean, he's going to be, I think, you know, the kid that instantly wants to sort of get out and play and kick a ball.
Yeah.
And Eddie's this sort of sensitive kind of, you know, he watches your mouth and tries to communicate. And if I sing to him, he tries to sing along. And I could really see myself when they're a bit older, trying to sort of make cupcakes with them. And Stanley, I bet you he'll have his elbows in the bowl, you know, with chocolate all
filthy
over
hands.
Him.
Yeah,
filthy great hands. You know, down from the table, smears everywhere, out in the garden, in the sandpit or whatever. And then Eddie, I think, will be doing little tiny decorations on the top. And
great. I mean, it's sort of, you know, one of each type. What a great, I mean, that's just a great combination,
does
isn't
seem
it?
To be. I mean, have you got any sense about Arlo's personality?
I think he's a sweetheart. I just think he's a very sweet, sweet, sweet baby at the moment. You know, he's just a little mite, but he has got big feet.
Has he?
Really?
Has
yeah,
he?
Yeah.
And he's quite long, isn't he? He's going to be tall.
Long fingers, long feet. I mean, the thing is, everyone says, you know, when people see pictures of him, they say, people have actually said, oh, he's big, isn't he big? He was 7'2". I think he's just long.
Long. Yeah.
Long.
Yeah.
And they are struggling already with the, because I think they've got some sort of tiny newborn stuff. Yeah. And his legs are too long for some of them. So they're going to have to cut the feet out of some of them so that he can stretch out.
But he's quite chilled. That's interesting.
Daisy bought her a lovely... Daisy bought him a lovely little green stripe romper. And Tristram looked at it and he said, oh, this is a nice long-legged one.
Yeah,
because that's
very
what Arlo
good.
Needs. He needs long-legged ones. I mean, but do you not sometimes go into baby shops and think, oh, I'm just going to buy him a little hat? Two little matching hats. Somehow I've got to buy hats.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. I tell you what we are doing with the twins, which is a new thing, is we're going swimming. Well, I mean,
oh, my goodness. Not in the sea. You're not chucking them in the sea in formal ages.
No, but kind of chucking them into the pool. Oh, God, Jenny, I have to say, the whole fucking thing. Well, first of all, there's two of us, obviously, because with twins, it's a two-woman job. It's a two-woman job. They don't like men doing it, which is ridiculous. And so we go to this primary school, and
what
I think it's
men doing it.
Well, because I think the changing room thing, and there's somebody who doesn't want that, you know. But anyway, so I go every Wednesday. It's very lovely, and it's great to be asked. And of course it is, but oh God, Jenny,
hard work.
Oh, I can't tell you. And very exacting. I mean, it's obviously a franchise that sort of, you know, introduces tiny babies to swimming and to water and everything. But, oh, you know, lots of rules and a lot of kind of do's and don'ts. Probably rightly. Anyway.
Do they have, what do they wear, the babies, to swim?
Well, they've got
swim?
swimming nappies, and then they've got swimming kind of pull-ons on the top. But they have to be very specific about the size, so that if they do a poo, it doesn't kind of leak out. I don't think they got time to do a poo, but, you know, if they did.
Okay, so, what you really need is a cork to put up each baby's bum. A sort of rubber bung or something. Just plug them up. They're only in for 15, 20 minutes. Just plug them up, pop them in the pool, and then unplug them once they get out.
And unplug them at the end. Yeah. I know. Save a lot of bloody faff.
And then just put them on the shit towel on the side of the pool, and they all have a shit. And then you gather up the shit towel, and that gets burnt in an incinerator around the back of the pool. Something like that. I don't know.
I mean,
do they love it?
Well, Stanley loves it, predictably. Eddie's not so sure, obviously. But they put them
underwater.
Which
one do you look after, Judith? Which one do you look after?
Oh, I like Stanley. I like looking after Stanley because Eddie doesn't like it much. And you have to put them underwater. This is the thing.
What?
You have to put them underwater, which is terrifying. And if you put them in at the wrong angle, it all goes up their nose. So you have to kind of be really bold and like a seal. You have to go right under. And last time she let them go. She said, right, I'm going to let them go. And literally, about 3 feet away, I put them under, and he, you know, they swim underwater to you with their eyes open, and up they come. It's terrifying.
I mean, it's like that at the most famous album cover in the world. I think it's a Nirvana one, isn't it? It's a baby swimming underwater.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Apparently, he's 42 now or something. But you know, that it is, I have seen this sort of phenomenon of the underwater swimming baby. It's true, it's extraordinary.
But it is bloody terrifying. Anyway, we finished the course and they got a badge each. Ridiculous. 4 months old, but anyway. Yes, so that's quite a busy sort of weekly thing.
Yeah. And so, are you locked into that or have you finished the course now?
Finished the course, but there'll be another one. I think there'll be another one. She's very keen for them to get onto that. I mean, you know, it's great because I think what they're trying to do is sort of expose them to being underwater so they're not terrified of it, although in this case that's not particularly working. I would say it's probably having the opposite effect. But there you go. What do I know? What do I know?
Yeah. Well, we had an interesting day out. So that was your interesting day out, going swimming with the two, with the babies.
Yeah.
Jeff and I are on a never-ending, it seems. It's a quest. It's a quest that we're on for the ultimate comfortable sofa bed for under £600. I mean, the original search was for under £400, but that's proved tricky. Right. Because the thing about sofa beds is that some of them work well as sofas, some of them work well as beds, very few of them work well as both things. Or,
right.
You know, and some of them are very ugly and some of them, you know, just you can't... Anyway. So Jeff and I had a day out... and we went to Dunelm and IKEA.
What? You went to Dunelm and IKEA?
Yeah, in Croydon. Park.
This is a bit of a turn up for the books, Jenny and Claire. I remember mentioning Dunelm to you a few months back and you were kind of...
I've never been to Dunelm. I'll put my hand up now and say I've never been to a Dunelm. Now, the thing that was disappointing about Dunelm was that they don't keep large items of furniture in the stores. Well, what's the fucking point of that? I want to look at sofa beds. I'm not going to buy one online, am I, without sitting on it? I've learned from past mistakes, you know. If I can't find shoes to fit and that I like online, I'm not going to risk doing a sofa bed, am I? You know, somebody gets it upstairs and you just don't like it. Oh, can you take it back down? Oh, can you imagine the palaver? No. So, however, where Dunelm scored very, very highly... Yes. And both of us, Jeff and I, because you know Jeff, he's a bit Conran shop. You know what he's like.
Well, exactly. Terrible. That's what I'm. You know, I'm struggling here with Jeff in Dunelm, to be honest.
He wore a mask. He wore masks all over his head. Nobody recognised him. And but the rugs are magnificent.
Oh, magnificent! That's warm. Well, that's
shopping tip
indeed.
Of the week. Yeah,
rugs.
Shaggy rugs.
What sort of mugs?
Shaggy not real wool, because the trouble with real wool rugs, when they're a certain pill, is that they pill and they gather and gather and you get loads of fluff and that's no good for a baby's nursery. Oh, so no. It's sort of not, I don't know, they were shaggy. They were anyway, I'm not going to say what it was on air because people might all go. But I was knocked out. I was knocked out by
knocked
the Dunelm
rug.
Yeah, I was.
Wow.
And IKEA was a much sort of more. I did enjoy walking around IKEA. I have to say that they knock spots off Dunelm in their sort of setting up of you know how things look.
Well, because you can see it's all in situ for a start.
Yes, yes. And you think, oh, I could live there. Oh, look at that little corner. Oh, that's cosy. Oh, yes. Oh, can I just? I'll get under the covers and oh, do you know there was actually because there was this little sofa set up near the cafe and there was a woman conked out. She was having a
Very good idea. I like a trip to Dunelm. And did you have something to eat in the canteen?
Well, in IKEA, yes, it was too hot for meatballs. I mean, people were having them. I thought, well, you know, who are you trying to kill?
Oh,
we just had sandwiches, Judith. You know,
just
I don't think we could afford hot meal.
Were they Scandinavian?
They weren't. That was disappointing. They just. I had the cheese and onion. You know, when people mix up cheese and onion together, and I think it's very delicious. Do you know when it's mashed cheese and onion? Yum, 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 yum.
I've never made a cheese
combos.
And onion sandwich in my life.
My
what
mum
do you mean,
used
grated?
To do it.
Grated?
Yeah, mum used to do it on Sunday teas, you know, when we'd had a Sunday lunch and then we had trolley supper, you know, tea on the trolley in front of Black Beauty. Come on, classic. And wheel this trolley through and it's all very similar to your upbringing, really, Judith. But, you know, sandwiches. And one of my mum's combinations was... I couldn't eat it now because it contained tomato, but tomato, grated cheese and onion all mixed together, pulped up together. Oh, just delicious. But IKEA do a nice cheese and onion. So do Marks and Spencer's, I have to say. But I bought Phoebe and Tristram a prep lunch the other day and I cannot tell you how expensive it was. I cannot tell you.
ABBA.
I was shocked.
Really?
Well, I did it. I did all bells and whistles because, you know, she's breastfeeding and all
this kind
of thing.
So I bought
smoothies, I bought drinks, I bought little pudding pots and, you know, a chocolate bar for Tristram because he's been a good boy. And it cost £25.
Gosh, I mean, yeah, they're not there yet. We want to go to Greg's. I keep telling you about Greg's. I know you.
I'm not. I'm just going to. Do you know what I'm investing in? More Tupperware. I'm just going to make more. That's what
I'm
doing.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
Big piles of Tupperware. That's what we all. Because Tupperware just disappears, doesn't it? And then you go, oh, I've got to buy a sandwich because. Anyway.
But you know what I do? If you go to Pret and you get one of those little sort of ginger pots, you know, those teeny weeny little great. You know, if you want to sort of squeeze your own orange juice or something and then put them in there. I don't know what else you do, really, because we haven't got, you know. But anyway, they're very pleasing. They're a pleasing thing to have in your Tupperware cupboard that you think that's going to be really useful.
But you see, I think you've got space for all that shit. I really haven't because, you know, I've only got a galley kitchen. So I'm going to have to be quite disciplined with my Tupperware stacking. Yeah. It's all going to work for me, you know.
Yeah,
can I just tell you something else as well? I'm talking all this nonsense about, you know, trying to save money and everything. I went bonkers. I went bonkers last week in Peter Jones in Sloane Square, Judith.
Oh, did you? The clothes thing? The clothes,
I spent a fortune. I haven't done this for so long.
Yeah,
to the point where recently I thought I've caught sight of myself and I've started to look down at heel.
A lot of money. I think you're the opposite to me. I think you buy a few nice pieces. I buy a lot of shit, but have the kind of retail therapy hit with that and a kind of... So, no, I you don't buy a lot. So what did you get?
Oh, Judith, I absolutely... I just... bunked a load of money in afternoon. I found a label at John Lewis Peter Jones that really suits me. It's called NRBY.
And it's a John. What does that mean?
Yeah,
N-R-B-Y?
I don't know. Nearby. I don't know. No idea. It's John Lewis clothing label. And I bought a white linen dress, a blue linen dress.
Well, you rather can't have controversially, any spaghetti bolognese in that. Hold on, linen dress.
Judith. I know. I've decided not to be precious about it. I've decided that it's just to be worn. I haven't worn it once yet. Blue linen dress, right? And a rather controversially, a bibbed skirt.
What do you mean a bibbed skirt?
I managed to load that question with so much suspicion. A bibbed skirt, Judith, and it's in a blue chambray, I think, and it is a skirt, you know, like our dungarees.
Yeah.
So imagine a skirt dungaree.
A skirt. Oh, a skirt dungaree.
She's got it. Yes.
Weird.
I will have to put this on the notice board, won't
I,
on Friday? Yeah,
yes,
okay,
please.
Okay.
So has it got, wait a minute. So it hasn't got like culotte, it's not like a short.
No.
So it's just a skirt.
It's
sounding a bit Tyrolean.
Fucking Tyrolean, you're absolutely
troublingly
right.
I'm not sure about that.
I will look like I'm halfway up a mountain.
Yeah. I've got either Pinocchio, I'm either in the Pinocchio neck of the woods or Tyrol.
Yeah. Yeah, right. you're in the right neck of the woods, I have to say.
Yeah.
You're absolutely
I need to see a photo of that.
Might be
a poll.
It might be a poll. I can't poll.
Well, it's your turn for a poll after all the bloody shoes people have told me to throw away.
If I poll it and they say I can't take it back because I haven't got the receipt anymore. Stop
well,
it.
Well, that's a nice move.
I need some support here. and also, it didn't stop there. I had a rush of blood to the head and I've no idea why.
Right.
I bought some turmeric trainers. I put them on the notice board.
I saw those and they do look very nice. And I do covet them. I've got to be honest, I do covet them. I bought a pair of white ones. They're boring as shit. No, I like your turmeric ones. Well, you like a bit of turmeric, don't you? Do you know what I mean?
I do. Now I'm good. But I have, you know, when I was accused you of overmatching.
Yes.
I've turned into an overmatcher. The other day I went out. I caught sight of myself. I'd gone for a swim and I was going around to my sister's and I just caught sight of myself and I thought, here we go.
I know exactly where you're going with this. You had that turmeric bag with you, didn't you?
I had the turmeric bag and I had turmeric shoes. And I just thought, I've gone navy and turmeric all the way down. Ridiculous. There we go.
And very nice. I'm sure you look too. Well, it had to happen one day, Jenny.
Yeah,
you know,
it's a sort of, it's an age thing, isn't it? Where you go, oh, that matches. I think I'll put that together with that. Oh, how clever I am.
I suspect it probably is. Very nice. Anyway. Well, we want to see the bibbed skirt, and we want to see it possibly teamed up with the turmeric trainers, to be honest.
Okay, right. I'll do a fashion show for you. I might do a reel.
A reel? What do you mean a reel?
A film, you know, like a little film.
Oh, get you. Why didn't you just say video? Is reel the word to you?
Yeah, of course it is.
Oh, show off.
I might start a TikTok channel of my own, Judith.
Good luck then.
Yeah. So anyway, listen, what you didn't actually manage to tell me what your Cornwall projects are.
Oh, right. My Cornwall projects are a linen dress kind of. Well, you see, what happened is that somebody bought me, I think, one of those floaty, silky top things that you like, whatever they're called. Which I love.
A kimono.
I can't. Yeah, kind of. But I can't. Aaron bought it because to say thank you for the wedding. It's beautiful. It's a thing of beauty. However, I didn't really have anything to wear with it. So I bought. Yeah. So basically, I'm doing a kind of. And I've made it. The trouble is, it's thin linen and it frays. And it only just fits me, Jenny. It only just fits me. So I put the zip in yesterday and it does just about do up. But it's kind of, there's a rolling happening. Do you know what I mean? There are sort of lumps and bumps. But anyway, with the thing over the top, I think it'll look fine. But I think the trouble is with me with dressing, it's a bit like my art projects, you know. I do it and I kind of know the basics, but I kind of cut corners and then you've got this really sort of nerve-wracking thing, haven't you? Which is that, right, all these hours that I just spent, it's either going to be shit or it's going to be quite okay. And it's sort of nerve-wracking right up to the end. I think it's okay.
I bet it's okay. What colour?
It's good. It's a good colour for me, and it's not one that I often wear, but it's a sort of neutrally sort of silvery, fawny taupe. It's probably taupe. I think taupe.
Taupe. Say taupe, you say taupe. Let's call the whole thing off. Now, okay, that's two fashion shows then on Friday. I think we have
because I did like
you put the picture you put up on our notice board last week of the woman you met in Cornwall. I thought that was really, I think that's nice. Now and again, with consent, obviously, when we meet interesting people, we should have a gallery of you know, likely older and wider, you know, gurus, kind of. Yes, I think it's something to
applaud. Let's do that.
Yes, it's generous and it's nice. And I thought, yes,
great.
I loved her necklace.
Oh yes, the necklace and the colour of her dress, but that headband. I just thought, I thought she just was absolutely she pulling.
You
that
did the headband
off.
When we did Latitude. Do you not remember? You had a jaunty bow in your hair.
Yes, I did. I do. But the
I can't keep
bow,
them in. I can't keep them in.
What do you mean you can't keep them
in? I've got a slidey head.
You've got a slidey head?
Yeah, headbands slide off. I've got a slidey head. It's annoying. And then you have to have Kirby grips and have, you know. It doesn't work.
Well, I think anyway. She'd elasticated. I think the truth is that she'd elasticated. And so I did think when I get home, I got a drawer full of kind of lovely scarves. So I might have a go with that.
Okay.
Just seeing if I could do it.
Right then, Judith. I think we have reached Culture Corner time.
Yes.
So I'm going to start with telly, if that's okay with you. I have finished our two projects, which were Love Island, and that has been an 8-week project for Jeff and I.
You're calling it a project.
It was, and we took it very seriously, and I don't think we missed an episode. If we did, we caught up on catch-up, and we have been saying Davide and Ekin-Su for a very long time, and thrillingly last night, they won.
You were right.
Before they won, they have this thing called the family visits, where the families come and sort of come into the villa, and that's all always a bit cringe. Lots of good-looking mums and jokey dads. But we have finished. We have finished Love Island. The job is done. We've also finished this season of Blown Away. Highly enjoyable, but not a classic year in the glass blowing studio in Canada.
Right.
So I will be moving on to all the recommendations that you made last week and put up on the notice board, starting with the newsreader, the Aussie drama on BBC One.
I think you'll really like that. We haven't quite finished it, and I'm really. Yeah, it takes me back to the 80s and being in a newsroom, much amongst other things. I think it's great. I think you'll really enjoy that. Very good, very good. I've just been binging on This Is Us. I mean, I'm here on my own and I'm scampering on ahead of Mike on This Is Us because I don't think he's as keen on it as me. Lots of the gang have been emailing to say that they're into it as well. And there's a particularly lovely couple called Toby and Kate. And they're both very, very large. And sort of, pissed off with being large, but also kind of not that pissed off with, and they've got a lovely, sexy, romantic, fantastic love affair, and that's very refreshing. And they're fabulous. Yeah, I do recommend it. I'm not sure whether you'll rate it or not, but I think it's something I'd
like. I have to, you know, Jeff must go out. He must take up golf or something.
Maybe you get it
anyway. So, books wise, we are loving, the two of us are listening to Gillian McAllister's Wrong Time, Wrong Place, as read by Leslie Sharp, which is about a female lawyer who watches her son commit a murder and then goes back in time to unpick how the events.
She watches him commit a murder
outside their house. It's not a spoiler. Lovely. Because this happens. This is the opening, you know, page of the book. She's she's looking through a window, sort of thing, and she sees her son outside, and a drama is played out in front of her very eyes.
Gosh.
And her son stabs somebody, and they end up in a police station, but the twist is it is at the time when the clocks go back. And somehow, because of this time sequence thing, she wakes up the next day and it's 2 days before the murder. And she goes back and back and back in time, and she realises that the family life that she has been leading is built on sand, Judith, is built on sand.
Ooh, that sounds
And
really
along
good.
The way, she finds out who her husband really is, and it's very, very clever, twisty plot. It's
very
a
good.
Proper psychological kind of family thriller. It's a proper plotted book. If you want a clever, you know, really sort of on the edge of your seat, listen. This is perfect for you.
That'd be a good drama, wouldn't it? That'd be turned
into
Sounds very good. That does. Sounds like a very good recommendation, Jenny. Well, I'm on the Lessons in Chemistry, which I think I always just follow you while I'm in books, but it's the book club book at the moment, and I'm liking it a lot. I know you said you didn't love it, but you did finish it. I'm liking it a lot, and it's interesting, isn't it? A female chemist at that time, sort of battling with all the sexism and so on. It's an interesting sort of fresh area somehow.
Fresh. It's such an original voice. I really liked it. I was one sort of step away from loving it, which, you know, was why it took me quite a long time to finish it. I didn't want to gulp it all down. I mean, I really liked it. It was like a sort of interesting cracker biscuit, which I kept going back to. If you know what I mean. I didn't want to stuff it all in my face in one go, but I kept going back for a nibble.
Yeah, that's a good analogy. Yeah. I haven't met the dog called 6:30 yet, which you
you'll
told
love
me about,
the dog called 6:30. You'll get a bit competitive though, because you'll think, yeah, well, Poppy could do that. Poppy could do that, and actually, Poppy can't, Judith, because as far as I know, Poppy hasn't got a large vocabulary. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. I'm sorry about all the bone chewing, by the way. She's still at it.
I kind of admire that, because she hasn't stopped for a second.
No, she hasn't.
Yeah. Right, I am going to go to our emails now, and there's a sort of quest out, and this is an interesting one, that neither you or I can really help with, Judith, and it is an email from a woman called Sue. She says, congratulations on everything, weddings and babies. Can I just say now, thank you so much, everybody, who sent such lovely, lovely, kind, good wishes. We all appreciate it hugely, and I know Phoebe is very, very touched indeed.
Oh, that's nice.
And this is from Sue. She said she had very exciting news when her son proposed to his lovely girlfriend of 6 years. She's very much enjoyed all your wedding talk, Judith, but she's wondering about her role as mother of the groom. Mm. She'd be very interested to hear any top tips from you or your listeners. And then this is the lethal line. This is what she says. I have already promised not to interfere.
Good luck with that, Sue.
This is Sue. Right. She's aged 55 and a half.
Yeah, which is a bit approximate. I mean, we're used to ages that are more specific than that, Sue.
So but maybe she's totally bang on. She might be 55 and a half exactly, Judith. Might be. 55 and 6 months. There we go, Sue. So if anybody has been the mother of the groom and has any funny tales to tell or any top tips for Sue, do share with us. Do email us on... Judith, what is our email address? I always do this to you because I can't remember.
You scab. Yeah. olderwiderpod@gmail.com.
Our Instagram is older and wider. You just look it up on the Instagram. We should be thinking about TikTok, but it's a bit much, isn't it? But look forward to our fashion shows. And I want you in that linen dress you've made yourself. And I want me in my bib.
Definitely want you in that big skirt. And the turmeric trainers. Well, so, so what are you up to today? What are you doing?
Trying to resist getting in my car and going to see my grandson, but you know, I have to wait to be invited. That's the rule.
Yes,
I think that's it's so early days. They just want to bond.
Well, of course they do. Yeah. It is. But early days.
I'd probably text and say, "Do you want any laundry doing?" You know, that kind of stealth. Yeah, get in
just
by
get to Marks and Spencer's and popping in there. Do you want me to just drop that off? Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
I mean, if I did pick up the laundry, I probably wouldn't wash it. I'd just put it outside in the garden in the fresh air for a couple of hours and then put it back in the bag. Anyway, listen, everybody, have a great week.
Yes.
And thanks for all your emails. We do love hearing from you. And Judith, have a great time in Cornwall. I know you've got another friend coming and that fills me with... I don't really like that. I'd rather you were lonely. I'd rather you were lonely, just you and Poppy.
Yes, we are rather inseparable. She sleeps on my bed and we go everywhere. I'm becoming that woman with the dog, aren't I?
But there you go.
It's all right, isn't it? No, she keeps me company. Oh, my God, the bone noises are terrible now. Right, yeah, okay.
Yeah. I've been sickened throughout this podcast, Judith. Sickened to my stomach. Anyway, I've swallowed it back. I'll go and do a small yip now. Thanks ever so much. And I just want to say to you and Daisy as well, you've been such a tower of strength over the last few weeks and you have been kind. Thank you very much. Lots of love, everybody. Take care and we will speak again next week.
Yeah, okay. Toodle-pip. Bye, gang.
Bye.
Bye, Jenny.